Thank you, ladies. We think of Canaan land. We not only think of our walk with the Lord as saved people, but we always associate that with heaven, don't we? We're going to Canaan's land. We talk about heaven. And I want to talk to you a little bit about that tonight, just to encourage us and remind us about heaven, the believer's home. Someday we're going to be there, and we'll be in Canaan land. Turn to Revelation, if you will. Chapter 21 and one verse tonight, verse 27. The Bible just reminds us, and there are many verses like this, as it describes the heavenly Jerusalem, and he talks about this particular attribute and the fact that heaven is going to be wonderful for us. Verse 27, there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth. Thank God for that. Neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Just like Brother Trowbridge was singing in that song, our names are written down there in the Lamb's Book of Life. What is heaven? What in the world is heaven anyway? We could do a series, I guess, for about 6 months on it and talk about it in every little detail of it. But here's what we know about it. We know it's a place. Amen? Heaven is a place. It is not some ethereal existence or some state or condition you're in. It's a real place. The Bible declares it to be as real as a person sitting beside you or behind you or maybe in front of you. It's a real place. Heaven is a glorious place, and God tells us without reservation it's there. And I believe the Bible. How about you? Heaven is a real place and not just a condition. Heaven is a place where God dwells. I've never seen God, have you? I've talked to a couple of nuts and thought they had, but they really had not seen God, not like that. But God is there in all of His might and all of His luminiferous glory. God is there on His throne in heaven. I wonder what it's like. We know one thing, God is there. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, the whole Trinity is there. And it's called the Father's house. You know, I've met some people who had a lot of money and some kids sometimes that had a lot of money and their father's houses were really nice. I mean really nice. And they would brag about it. But I want to tell you, if you want to brag about something, brag about the Father's house. The Father's house. It's a great place. It's a marvelous place. It's the Father's house. It's where God dwells. And thank God we can say, according to the Bible, it is the believer's home. You see, I know I'm going to heaven. I know I have a place to go to. I'm a believer. I mean, I look like a believer, but I am a believer. Believer in what? Believer in Jesus Christ. Believer in salvation by grace. And I've been saved by grace. So I am a believer in the Word of God, and it declares that there is a home in heaven for every truly born-again believer. Now, you got to be born again, but it's for the believers. And thank God for that. It's there. Heaven is a wonderful, wonderful place. There's so many verses that back that up, but time will not permit us to go into those. Secondly, we know this as we think about it. Where is heaven? Where is heaven? And a lot of people say, well, I think I died and went to heaven when something good happens to them. That's not heaven. Nowhere close to it. Where in the world is heaven? Well, we know the Bible does not give us the latitude and the longitude of heaven. But when the Bible talks about heaven, what does God always say? And how is it presented in the Word of God? Is it up or down? It's always up, isn't it? And that's a good connotation. Wherever you are on planet Earth, heaven is up. And it's a place that God has declared. And I think that's the positive aspect about it, that heaven is up. God doesn't tell us exactly where it is. But when we think of heaven, I always think up. And it always lifts my spirits. And when we're looking for the coming of Jesus Christ, are we looking down or up? We're looking up. He's coming back from heaven where He is tonight. And He's going to come and take His bride out of this earth. Heaven also is not too far away. It's not too far away. Did you know that? Did you know there's just a veil between you and heaven? Just a veil. And if you breathe your last breath tonight, and I hope you don't, but if you do, that veil to be taken away and you'll be ushered right into the very presence of God. Heaven is not so far away as we would think of it, and we don't know as far as miles and all of that, and we know the stars represent so many light years away, some of them, and all of that, but we know that as far as we're concerned, heaven is not far away. If we draw our last breath tonight, thank God, we go into the presence of the Lord. To be absent here is to be what? Present with the Lord. How long does that take? Not long at all, just a blink of an eye, just like that. We're present with the Lord Jesus Christ. Think about that when you think about your precious loved ones that have gone on before. And again, I'm talking about Bill Knight going to that funeral. I just thought about Brother Knight. He was playing golf on Monday, and then later he got to feeling bad and had a massive heart attack, but he went right into the presence of the Lord. And he wouldn't, if we could bring him back, it would be cruel for us to bring him back to this old earth and have him come back here and have to die again and go through all of that. No, he's present with the Lord, and he went immediately when he had that heart attack into the presence of the Lord. Heaven is also where Jesus is. It's where Jesus is. He's there tonight. He is at the right hand of the Father, and thank God is making intercession for you and for me. And we're glad that he's there. We know he's there. That's where he is. And I don't know if I could tell you geographically how to get there exactly where it is, but I can tell you one thing. If Jesus is there, it's heaven. Wherever Jesus is in his glorified body, that is going to be heaven. And so heaven is where the Lord Jesus Christ is. And I promise you that he is the center of attraction up in heaven. The Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that the Bible tells us he's the center of attraction. What is heaven? Where is heaven? And what is heaven like? I'm glad God has given us a little insight about what heaven is like, because it makes us understand where we're going. It makes us not so afraid of it. It makes us sometimes almost desire to go and be with the Lord, because we know what the Bible says about what heaven is like. And it's so glorious, it's so blessed, that God uses oftentimes negatives to describe heaven. He uses the negative. And so what does he say about it in a negative sense? Number one, there'd be no sin there. Thank God for that. We have so messed up this earth, so messed up this world. And even in America, we messed it up so badly. Sin is rampant. Sin is everywhere. But in heaven, there will be no sin. Can you imagine a place where there's no sin? And I've talked about that before, but listen, what a wonderful place that's going to be. No sin. And I grant you, if you go out here tonight and go somewhere and go out in public, you're going to see some sin. You might see it before you get out of the church. I don't know. But you might see some sin somewhere along the way. There's going to be that sin. It's all around. It's everywhere in the world. It's there. But when we get to heaven, just think of it. There will be no sin. No sin. I can't hardly imagine a place like that, can you? No sin. No cussing, no immodesty, no murder, no stealing, no breaking of the commandments. Everything will be what it's supposed to be. It'll be a place where there is absolutely no sin. And there'll be no more endless woe there. Imagine a place with no sin. It's a place, according to Revelation 2:3, of no curse. There's no curse. And we've got a curse on this earth. And Adam and Eve messed it up in the Garden of Eden, and the curse came, and we are all recipients of that, and we still have to face all of those things that we face because of sin and because of what took place. There's a curse on this earth. But God's curse is removed. Why? Because of Christ's work for us. Not only has he redeemed us, but thank God all nature is travailing, as it were, a baby trying to be born, and all nature wants to be part of that salvation process, and it's going to be that way. Someday, the curse is going to be lifted from this earth. We won't have to fool with mosquitoes. We won't have to fool with fire ants, famous Texas fire ants. We won't have to fool with, my wife would say, thank God for this, snakes being around, poisonous snakes. We won't have to fool with all the results of what's happened. We won't have the thorns. We won't have the briars. We won't have all of those things. And ad infinitum of all the things that are the result of the curse on this earth. There will be no curse there. God's curse will be removed. Why? Christ worked for us. Because of what He did on the cross. Not only does it affect us, there'll be someday a paleogenesis, a remaking of this earth. It will melt with a fervent heat. And thank God there will be no curse on it during that time. The New Jerusalem will be suspended perhaps right above it or right on it. Some believe it will be touching the earth. But we know that the earth is going to be different from what it is today. We won't have all that we have today on the earth. No sin, no curse, and no sorrow. No sorrow. I'm glad for that. Revelation 21, 1 through 6 says that. In verse 4 particularly, there will be no sorrow. I've been pastoring 43 years, 46 years full-time service. And I've been to a lot of funerals. And I've been to a lot of emergency rooms where people died. I've been in hospital rooms where people died. I've been in their homes, in their bedrooms where people died. And you know what? I've never gotten used to seeing their tears and their sorrow. I never get used to that. I always wish I could somehow raise the dead or do something like Jesus was able to do, the apostles were able to do. But I can't do it. But I can enter into their sorrow to some degree. But thank God in heaven there will be no more sorrow. Think of the sorrow in this world. A lot of sorrow in this world. My goodness, can you imagine? Have you ever seen a little child that's been abused by its mother or daddy? Beat up. I remember a lady telling me, she came, at least finally, somebody got her to come and talk to me, and we had to deal with this thing, but she said she would get so angry at her children, and just imagine this, she'd take her hot iron, if she was ironing, and just stick it to their hand or stick it to their body, to make them behave, make them go on about their business. That's child abuse, obviously. And my mother used to abuse me all the time. She'd beat on me all the time, whip me all the time. She missed a few. I needed that. But in all seriousness, there won't be any more child abuse. Little helpless children, by the way, there won't be any more abortion either, thank God. That's child abuse, in case you hadn't figured that out. That's a real entity in that body. That's a real entity in that womb. Over and over and over, the Bible tells us, David said, I was formed in my mother's womb with my genetical characteristics. All of my genome was there in my mother's womb. The color of my hair is the genetical makeup. That's not some bit of some kind of matter that's there. It's a child that is there from the moment of conception. There won't be any more of that. There'll be no more sorrow. Tears will forever be wiped away, thank God, all the sorrows of the world. Jesus is a man of sorrows, acquainted with sorrow. He knows all about it, but there won't be any sorrow. And I'm so glad that there will not be any sorrows. Also, there'll be no pain. There'll be no pain. One of our dear members called yesterday, and I missed the call. It was on a recording. I went in my office today, this morning, and I saw the light blinking, and I got on the phone, listened to the message, and it was Brother Thornton. And so I called him back. I figured maybe something had gone wrong. And as I was talking, I got him on the phone, was talking to him, he said that the infection had come back in Carolyn's leg, and tomorrow they're going to have to get together and make a decision, and the doctors have advised them, take the leg off. Now, husbands, how would you like to be part of that decision for your wife tomorrow? But here's the thing. He said, preacher, even when they give her morphine, she is still in so much pain that she screams and hollers and cries out. Thank God in heaven there'll be no more of that. Amen. There won't be any more of that in heaven. No more pain. I've seen some people die with a lot of suffering. I watched a man I visited him for a number of weeks, and he had cancer, and it just ate a hole in his stomach. I don't know if they evidently they didn't have hospice care back then. I don't even remember. I was a youth director then, Brother Gillett, but it fell on me because the pastor was sick, and I don't get any ideas. But it fell on me that I had to go by and talk to him and start visiting him. And I never forget it. He would talk to me and he'd beg me, oh, pray that God would take me on to heaven. I had the privilege of leading him to the Lord, and then he wanted to go to heaven, but he was in so much pain. And every time I'd go by, he was just in pain and pain and pain. No matter what they did, that cancer had eaten through. There won't be any more pain in heaven, thank God. And there'll be no more separation. Revelation 22, 4 and 5. We'll see his face. And we'll see him face to face and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ. There'll be no more separation. Never have to say goodbye up in heaven. Isn't that great? We've had to say goodbye here to our loved ones sometimes, knowing it was the last thing we were going to say to them. I've seen people lean over and whisper in the ear of a loved one getting ready to go out into eternity. The last thing that they could say, and I've listened to them, heard them say, bye-bye, Daddy, or bye-bye, honey, or bye-bye to some loved one. But there'll never be any of that up there. When we get there, they're there, we're saved, they're in heaven, we're in heaven, hallelujah, we'll never have to say bye again in the sense of it being a permanent bye. We're going to be together in heaven, and that'll be a wonderful, wonderful place. No goodbyes in heaven. There'll be no darkness in heaven. You know why? The light of the world's going to be there. Now, we're the light of the world right now. Some of us are glowing, and some of us are burning, and some of us, I'm not sure the wick's even wet, but at any rate, we are the light of the world. But Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. Well, he's up there now. But when we get there, the Bible tells us there will be no need of the sun in heaven because God is there in his beauty and all of his magnificence somehow will go out in the light of the world, Jesus Christ. There will be no need of the sun in heaven. The sun will pale compared to the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ, as bright as it is. I was going to switch lanes coming into the church on 1187 tonight, and I looked in my mirror in the left side, and the sun was so bright in that mirror that I didn't know whether to change lanes. I couldn't see if anybody was in that lane, so I did it anyway. I wanted to scare my wife, but I did it anyway. But I thought, how beautiful, how magnificent. I said, Carol, I couldn't even see in my mirror. Look at that. The sun is so bright, but Jesus would be brighter than that. Brighter than the noonday sun. That's what they said about Paul when he got saved. And there was that appearance of God on the road to Damascus. A marvelous thing. It was noonday, and yet he still saw the beauty of the Lord. There'd be no night there, no darkness. There'd be no more death there. Thank God death is forever dethroned, and life and immortality are going to reign in heaven. I'll do a funeral this Friday. It was one yesterday. It was one last Saturday. And all of that. But we won't have to go any more up there. Thank God for that. That's a fact of the Word of God. No more death. So, he says in these negatives, which are really positives, that there will be no more of these things in heaven. Now, who are in heaven? Well, I've already mentioned, but number one, the triune God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I know the Holy Spirit is here and he's working, and I believe he's working tonight. And I depend on him to do his work because he does the work that I could never do when I'm preaching. But the Holy Spirit is a person. We got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the triune Godhead is there in heaven. What a glorious thing that's going to be someday to go up there and actually see Jesus. Actually see Jesus. I don't know, we won't be in a hurry up there. I don't know when we'll get to touch his body or see his body, his nail-scarred hands or his head or his feet, but I do believe we're going to get to see that. I don't know how. I don't know that the Bible tells us for sure, but I do believe that I will see the Lord Jesus Christ in his glorified body someday, and he's going to be there, the triune Godhead, God the Father. And we know that he is a spirit. And then the seraphim and the cherubim and the angels will be there. I've never seen an angel that I know of. I've called my wife an angel before. But that's using the term loosely, right? You understand what I mean. She really is an angel. But I believe this. The angels are active and busy up there. The saints that are already up there singing glorious songs, praises to the Lord. I don't know how they do all of that, but I know there's a lot of activity in heaven. And I know that you have these the seraphim and the cherubim, the high angels that are there, according to the Word of God. Matthew 18:10, Luke 15:10 talks about that. And the host of angelic principalities that are there. And they are there not tonight at Jesus' beckoning word. If he says, go help so-and-so, go do this, go do that. I don't know how they do all of that, but I know God can do it, and God does it. There are angels in heaven, the cherubim and the seraphim. Thank God for that. And I'll tell you somebody else that's in heaven. Saved sinners will be in heaven. Saved sinners. And somebody said the only thing man-made, in heaven would be the scars in the Lord Jesus Christ's body. And that's probably true. But thank God if we're saved, we're going to be in heaven. We're going to be there with Him. Saved sinners. How? Redeemed by the blood. Let's get back to the blood. Always to the blood. Saved sinners. What do you mean? Redeemed by the blood. What does that mean? We're bought back by the blood. Not with silver and gold, but the precious blood of Jesus Christ that He shed on the cross. The shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is the price that was paid for our redemption. His death and His burial, and thank God His resurrection. Redeemed by the blood, and we call it different language, born again. Sometimes we say we've been converted, but it all means the same thing. Technically, we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only reason we're going to be there. Not sinners, but saved sinners. People who have been redeemed. And we sing that song, I'm just a sinner, that I'm saved by grace. And we don't need to take that song and believe that means, well, I'm just a poor little sinner and I got to live a fleshly life in this earth. That's not what we mean by that song, is it? We're singing, I'm a sinner, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And it's a testimony to God's mercy and God's grace. We're saved by the grace of God, saved sinners, converted, born again. Those are good terms, by the way, that God has given us in His book, that we're there and we're born again, all of that. And thank God there's going to be saved people there from all over the world. I remind us again, we ought to be involved in missions. Thank God for these missionaries that have served so faithfully in Hong Kong. People come to Christ. And there'll be Chinese people there. There'll be Japanese people there. There'll be Filipinos there. There'll be the people that are yellow and black and white and all people from all over the world. They're going to be in heaven. They're going to be saved by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad we have a missions-hearted church where we believe in sending the gospel to all people, because the Bible says there's going to be people from all over the world there. Now, we have a job to get the gospel to them so they can be saved and they'll be in heaven with us. Redeem sinners by the grace of God from every tribe and every nation, and every tongue, Revelation 5. Now, who are not there? Well, the Christ rejecters. They're not going to be there, are they? Friend, if you reject Jesus Christ tonight, if you're here and you're lost, you're not saved. Most of the Sunday night crowd here is saved. But if you're not and you reject Jesus Christ, you won't be there. All of these good things about heaven, the negative positives and all the rest, mean nothing to you until you're saved and know you're saved. And Christ rejecters will not be in heaven. They're not going to be there. Notice I said rejecters because they have a choice. They do have a choice. God didn't predestinate so many people to go to hell and so many to go to heaven. God gives us free will and choice. He offers a plan of salvation. We can reject it or we can accept it. Those who say no to Jesus, those who say no to God's plan, the only way to heaven through Jesus Christ, they will not be there. Your brother, your sister, your mother, your daddy, no matter who it is, the ones you work with, that's why we need to tell them about Christ, amen? Because we need to get them saved. Because if they don't get saved, they will not be there. The Christ rejecters. May I say this too? And this speaks sometimes to people in the church. Mere empty professors will not be there. There are some people that are members of churches who are not saved. Did you know that? They are professors, but they are not possessors. You better be sure you possess eternal life, because you're not going to be there if you don't. And don't just be a professor about it. Be a possessor and know that you're going to be there. Will you be there? Do you know that for sure? And what are you basing it on? Let's stand, please. Here's our invitation tonight. If you're not sure you're saved, come. Don't reject Christ anymore. Just walk out from where you are and come forward and receive Christ as your Savior. If you are saved, number one, if you're a member of a church, be sure you're saved. Know you're saved. Has your life changed? Has your heart changed? Have your desires changed? Do you really love Jesus? Want to serve the Lord? Are you living a holy life? Be sure that you are saved. And then, when we think about heaven, there's a lot we could come to the altar tonight for. Kneel down and praise the Lord for that. For all of these things I mentioned tonight. For nothing else, if you have a loved one up there, just thank Him that He's there and they're there. And that someday, because of Jesus' love and His substitutionary death, we're going to go to heaven and be with Him and never, never have any of those problems again. Isn't it going to be great? Heaven's a wonderful place, a wonderful place. Father, we thank You for what the Bible says about heaven, many teachings that You've given us, enough to make us want to go there, to make us have our appetites whetted for the reality of heaven, to know that there's no place in existence like heaven. Lord, if there's somebody here without Christ, I pray tonight they'd be saved. And Lord, help us to be so thankful we're going to heaven. That down here, before we get there, we'll give our lives to You and surrender to You and live right, and that we would have holiness in our lives and an appreciation for the blood of Jesus that was shed for us, for our salvation, so that we can know we're going to heaven. That our lives would count every day for You. That we would express our love and appreciation, our thanksgiving for the gift of eternal life through Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. While we sing, may God help you to come if there's a need. Would you